Anyone know what that is? That's music to my ears. That's another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Whether you're selling shirts or sandals, start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll customize your online store to your brand, discover new customers, and build relationships that will keep them coming back. Shopify covers all the sales channels to successfully grow your business, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free on-demand business courses, Shopify is here to help you succeed every step of the way. It's how every minute, new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify. And you can do it too. I love how Shopify makes it simple for anyone to sell their products anywhere. Whether they're ebooks or earrings, Shopify simplifies starting and running your own successful business. When you're ready to take your idea to the world, do it with Shopify, the commerce platform powering millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Now it's your turn to try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. So sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/C-Suite, all lowercase on C-Suite. Go to shopify.com/C-Suite, all lowercase on C-Suite to start selling online today. Shopify.com/C-Suite.
You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome again to Occupation Station. I'm Diane Donato and our guest is Stefan Esker. He's Senior Medical Director, Antibody Drug Conjugate Franchise at Daiichi Sankyo. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
You graduated in 08 with high honors from Albany College of Pharmacy, and after earning your PharmD, you completed a postdoctoral fellowship in HIV medicine at Rutgers University in conjunction with Bristol Myers Squibb Pharmaceuticals. So you have some amazing credentials.
Oh, thank you very much for the kind words. I appreciate that.
Let's talk a little bit about what your strengths are, what your skills are for the day-to-day work that you're doing now.
Good, yeah. So in my day-to-day work as a senior medical director in my department, I'm essentially leading a team of folks who are in charge of all medical affairs related activities for a pipeline medicine for oncology. What we're doing essentially is taking a look at what data is being generated by our R&D colleagues, also taking a look at data that's being generated from our preclinical and translational colleagues, and identifying how we can really present that data at scientific conferences and also disseminate this information to a more broad audience. So that way, there really is a greater level of understanding of our compound and its potential role in the treatment of cancer patients.
So you're working a lot with people who are doing the research, and then you're working a lot with sharing the data and making sure that it gets out there and used.
Exactly. So I think, you know, you mentioned a little bit around skills and strengths, I think, that would be required for something like this. And I really do think the ability to have a strong organizational skill set, so really being able to handle many different projects and research studies at once, being able to really understand the science and the rationale behind why we're designing studies the way that we are. And then I think really interpersonal skills are another, I think, major skill set that I tend to notice is really key for success in this arena, because there are so many different folks and different professionals from across the healthcare industry that we're expected to interact with on a daily basis.
You've worked with infectious diseases most of your career, which sounds really fascinating. What drew you to that area to begin with?
For me, it was actually a matter of a fascination with HIV at a pretty young age. So when I was growing up, there were stories like that of Ryan White, who was a young person infected with HIV and faced a lot of different stigma throughout his young life. And I think when I actually reached pharmacy school at ACP, there were a lot of great summer research opportunities with Tom Lodi at the Stratton VA across the street, which really opened my eyes to infectious diseases. But also, I definitely credit my time with Chris Miller at Albany Medical Center during my P4 year, really opened my eyes up to the world of HIV pharmacotherapy. And it's really, I think, amazing what it's like when you have a mentor who cares about you and gives you opportunities that are unique and enriching that you may not have gotten otherwise, especially when you're a young professional. So, you know, for me, that really inspired my my pathway into the infectious diseases arena. And really, I've spent, while I'm not in that arena anymore, I've really spent the majority of my career focused in both HIV and hepatitis C. So really, really lucky to have had that experience.
And at some point, you transitioned to oncology.
Absolutely. So, you know, for me, I think I was working at Bristol-Myers Squibb, and there were a tremendous amount of new research and development activities in the space of immuno-oncology, which is essentially harnessing a person's own immune system to enable that person to fight against cancer. So, you know, having grown up watching, you know, cancer really impact and affect people that I loved and cared around me, I think it was definitely something that I was inspired to learn more about and to learn a new skill set in terms of both clinical care, but also the clinical research that goes into developing a new cancer regimen.
It sounds like everything you've done has been deeply meaningful to you.
Absolutely. I think when I think about the decisions that I've tried to make along the way, it's difficult to do a job that you don't, I think over the long term, that you don't feel really passionate about. And I think the ability to wake up every day and to really feel like you're contributing, as maybe cliche as it may sound, contributing to something bigger than yourself, and that you're able to, you know, really make a difference on, for me, what I consider a broad scale in the development of these different medications, whether it was in HIV or within the cancer space, definitely is what encourages me to, you know, work the long hours and to strive to be a better professional. So I definitely agree. It is a matter of passion.
And I get the impression that in both of the HIV research fields and oncology, things are changing so quickly. It must be really exciting, but it also must be difficult just to keep up with all the changes.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think where I was at with HIV and hepatitis C when I first started my career were really disease settings that were evolving rapidly with new agents and new medications and new approaches to treatment really coming out and being approved by the FDA and globally on a pretty rapid basis. So it's a matter of keeping on top of the science and being willing to learn something new. When I moved to oncology, I will admit it was actually pretty challenging at first, because it was a matter of retraining the mind and learning an entirely new way of thinking of how you treat patients compared to the work that I had done in the HIV space. But the good news, and this is what I would stress to, you know, anybody going through pharmacy school or to others that have considered trying new ways of working or moving into new therapeutic areas, for example, is that there are oftentimes many similarities. And so for me, it was a matter of finding the similarities in our understanding of T cells and the immune system. And, you know, really, I think this enabled my transition to be relatively seamless over the long term.
How did your past roles help prepare you now, though, for the work that you're doing at Daiichi Sankyo?
You know, for me, I will admit, I think working at Bristol-Myers Squibb and starting my career there and working there for many years, it enabled me to have, a really rich and nurturing early part of my career. It was a family environment there. There was a lot of support for pharmacists and new professionals. And so what that enabled me to do was really to do many different kinds of jobs and roles in the company. And it definitely allowed me to express my curiosity in new spaces as well. For example, the movement from working in HIV and hepatitis C over into oncology. So I think the roles that I had previously, especially a role that I held called the medical science liaison role, really taught me how to communicate very effectively across a wide number of healthcare disciplines. Because basically, I'm not, you know, just working with pharmacists, with physicians and nurse practitioners, for example, but also working with clinical trial study staff at hospitals or folks who are educating the patients on the adverse events from their trial medications, for example. So it really opened my eyes, and doing these different kinds of roles and the ability to do these different roles really, I think, helped set me up in a very nice way moving forward.
We're talking with Stefan Esker, an 08 grad, and we're going to ask you, Stefan, in a couple of moments about building your career. First, though, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear from Dr. Greg Dewey.
What does student-centeredness mean? Isn't every college student-centered? No, every college is not student-centered. There are some colleges that are faculty-centered. There are some colleges that are research-centered. Student-centeredness is not a given, but the student-centeredness is about putting the student first. And that's the lens that you have to have. So if you create a one-stop shop where students can get all their registration and housing and all these things done in one fell swoop, that's student-centered. May require more manpower, may not be the most efficient thing, but it's student-centered. I can come in and teach at this high, high level and blow the class away, and they won't understand a thing I'm saying. I might feel pretty good about how smart I am, but that's not student-centered. The student-centeredness teaching is getting down to their level, making sure they understand basic concepts before you go forward. Means I have to work harder as a teacher. The student experience is the entire scope of things that happen to them throughout their years in college. It's not just about their classroom work. It's what happens inside the classroom, what happens outside the classroom. It's about the connections they make, about the networks they build. It is about their ease of registering for classes or their experience with clubs or athletics or how much they like the dining hall. Also about what happens in the lecture hall. So it's the whole spectrum of things. And it's our goal is to make sure they have the best student experience possible that will set them up for successful careers as they go forward.
We're talking with Stefan Esker, Senior Medical Director, Antibody Drug Conjugate Franchise at Daiichi Sankyo. And Stefan, we want to know a little bit more about how you built your career. Is there any advice you would give?
So I think the best advice that I would give is to try new things and be willing to fail when trying those new things. So this was advice that I had gotten when I was considering different routes at the end of my pharmacy school career at ACP. And basically what it encouraged me to do was when selecting both my rotations in that final year, but also in my next steps following graduation, basically encouraged me to try something that I hadn't tried before, because without doing that, I would not know really what I was most passionate about. Now, on the flip side of that, when you try something new or you try many new things along the course of your career, you have to be willing to experience some perceived failure along the way. So there are a variety of different ways in which you can experience failure. It may be a matter of not feeling like you were able to deliver to the maximum ability on a project, for example, or maybe it's not getting that residency, fellowship, or a new job opportunity when you've worked so hard to get that. And that definitely happened to me on a variety of occasions over the course of my career. So I suggest being open to trying these new things, because they'll really be able to show you what's possible as a pharmacist.
And you do learn from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's key, because I've been able to apply a lot of the learnings in the roles that I've had leading up to the one I have now.
Was there any bad advice you got early on?
It's an interesting question. I think perhaps the one that sticks out in my mind, and I'm sure there are a few different bad apples that I've been given over the years, but, you know, is that, you know, the caution to speak up when having a new idea as a young person or a young professional early in their career. I remember receiving that advice and saying, you know, it's better to really, you know your place in the pecking order or know your role in these different meetings. And while I don't think that that is necessarily inaccurate, I do believe that it may stunt someone's growth or willingness to grow as a professional. And so what I would just suggest is, you know, when you have new ideas and when you have something to bring to the table, I would recommend finding a mentor, finding somebody that you trust who will really help you grow from that idea.
That sounds like the concept of leaning in a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you find that mentor, and I think I referenced this a little bit earlier in the talk, you find somebody who will actually look out for you just beyond, you know, even beyond the projects and the work that you're doing today, but will actually help identify opportunities for you to grow in the future. And I think that that's a really key bit of continuity that maybe people don't necessarily think of on the surface, but really is important for, you know, the long-term growth of yourself as a personal and a professional.
I see that you were also active in some clubs. You also mentioned earlier the partnerships, relationships that ACPHS has with other institutions like Albany Medical Center. Anything you would tell students about the activities and the clubs and the experience at the school?
Yeah, I would just, I would recommend finding at least a few of those different organizations that speak to you, and to really give it your best effort. You know, I was really blessed to be, you know, an active brother for Phi Delta Chi. That really opened my eyes to a lot of great professional opportunities, but also really close-knit connections with guys and with ladies who I've kept in touch with for many years following my initiation. In addition, I also definitely agree that identifying a professional association like APHA or ASHP will also enable you to connect with additional folks from around the country in terms of pharmacy schools, which will really be able to expose you to new and exciting projects on a broader scale like that. So I think for me, one of the biggest suggestions I would have to somebody is if you're thinking about joining one of these professional societies, I think it's a really great opportunity for you to meet new people, but also to really experience new ideas outside of ACP. And then you can both bring those ideas from ACP out into the rest of the country, but also vice versa, and bring some really interesting ideas inside the college.
Stephan Esker, thank you so much for an interesting conversation about such a remarkable field. I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in knowing more about how to get involved in that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
For more information or to schedule a tour, visit acphs.edu. You can tune in to all of our informative stories at acphs.edu/podcast. Each podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and iHeart, giving you the opportunity to listen from a mobile device. Mark Occupation Station as a favorite, and you'll receive push notifications as soon as we publish something new. Occupation Station is also a proud member of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, the largest podcast content directory dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.